I'm Jody Nisnik, and you're listening to So Much More. In John 16:12, Jesus stated, "There is so much more I want to tell you." He then pointed to the Spirit as the one who would come, who would further his teaching by bringing his word to life for us. So Much More creates space for God to reveal his truth through his word. Today, I am excited to have Aaron House with me as we have a conversation around the spiritual discipline of scripture memory. Aaron is the founder and executive director of Piercing Word Ministry and co-author of Warriors of the Word book and video course. And he has a fiery zeal for Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And he has personally memorized and performed 26 books of the Bible before a public audience. He is passionate about equipping other believers to successfully memorize God's Word for themselves and wield the sword of the Spirit in their everyday lives. Aaron is originally from Texas, but he currently lives in Lancaster, Pennsylvania with his wife, Emily, and their three children. Before Piercing Word Ministry became full-time in 2013, he was a full-time professional actor at Sight and Sound Theaters in Lancaster, Pennsylvania for 3 years, and then in Branson, Missouri for 2 years. He has a BA in musical theater from Wichita Baptist University in Arkansas, and he is also an ordained minister. Well, welcome, Aaron. It is really fun to have you on the podcast with me today.
Thanks so much, Jody. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, so we're talking about the spiritual discipline of scripture memory. And to be really honest, I can't think of anyone else to have this conversation or anyone better to have this conversation with. You have memorized 26 books of the Bible, which is amazing. So I would love to just know, how did you get started on the scripture memory journey? And why has it been so important in your life?
Yeah, well, it's my story can, it depends on how much is my story you want. Cause I received the Lord when I was 8 years old as my personal Lord and Savior, and was diagnosed with a number of different neurological disorders that year, and began battling those things. I had been battling those things and continued battling those things. And really God used all of that to draw me closer to himself as a teenager. Mm. And, you know, I had memorized, you know, scripture in like Bible drill, you know, the Baptist version of Bible quizzing and all that, you know, when I was young. And but then, you know, really, as I drew close to the Lord, I ended up memorizing whole passages and books of the Bible. And then, you know, God taking me all the way through, you know, college and starting Piercing Word Ministry, which is another story I could tell you. And then memorizing, you know, the majority of the New Testament is kind of another story after that. So, we can dive in anywhere in that progression, but,
Well, I think for me, I really want to know where scripture has been healing in your life, because I know that's a big part of your journey, is that you found deep healing.
Yeah.
You found the word to do what the word says it will do, that it will transform and change us. And so I would love to know about that part of your journey a little bit.
Yeah. So like I said, 8 years old, diagnosed with several different neurological disorders. I was diagnosed with Tourette syndrome, ADHD, obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD, and rage disorder. And these things plagued me on a daily basis, and it would daily drive me to physical and vocal tics, distraction, hyperactivity, obsession, and rage on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And so I would have to be I would fly into a rage, and in order to keep me from hurting myself or others or breaking things in the house, I would have to be held down by my mom, my dad, my brother, until the adrenaline would finally release through tears.
Wow.
And this was a daily ordeal. I remember crying into my mom's arms when I was 12 and just saying, "Lord, why do I have to be so different than everybody else? Mm. You know, why can't I just be a normal kid? You know, All I want to do is serve God. You know, who would ever marry me? I was so broken, so desperately in need of God's healing. And shortly after that time, I was homeschooled all the way through, by the way, my younger years. And shortly after that time, I had a teacher on video. I used to pop my teacher in the VCR. That dates me a little bit. For those of you that don't know what a VCR is, it's kind of like a DVD player. So you don't really know what that is. It's like streaming. So I pop my teacher in the VCR, and it was a Bible teacher, his Bible class, and he challenged me to have a daily quiet time with God. And like everything else in my life at that point, I began to obsess about it, as my obsessive compulsive disorder would dictate. And I decided I was going to do this. And so the next morning when I popped my teacher in the VCR and he asked if I had my daily quiet time with God, I literally began to hit myself because I'd forgotten. So needless to say, by the end of that semester, I was having a daily quiet time with God, 30 minutes every day. And, you know, I began to spend time with God. And as I spent time with God, he began to show me things. He began to show me, he began to speak to me during those times. And he began to say, you know, Aaron, you know, you may have been labeled with all these neurological disorders, but your true disorder is a sin disorder. Mm. And regardless of how much adrenaline was surged into my body at times when it shouldn't have been, I was still responsible for my actions. And I began to weep over my sin. I began to cry out before the Lord for forgiveness. But he didn't stop there. He continued to speak to me. He's like, Aaron, you know, even though your true disorder is a sin disorder, and yes, you've been labeled with these other neurological disorders, he said, you're not defined by any of these disorders. Mm. These things don't define you. He said, you are a child of the living God who is fighting alongside your Savior, Jesus Christ, to win daily spiritual battles against the enemy, whose aim is to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And so I began to take on that true identity of a child of God. And my times in the Lord, with the Lord in the mornings began to grow from 30 minutes a day to an hour a day, 2 hours a day. I was spending so much time with God as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old kid, 2 hours a day. And like, I just couldn't get enough of him. I needed him. I needed the word. Mm-hmm. And I began to realize I can't just leave the word on the page. You know, I began to highlight and underline chapters and whole books of the Bible that I needed to take with me. I couldn't just leave it on the page. And so I began to memorize God's word as though my very life depended on it. And in many ways in that season, it did.
Yeah.
And that really is the moment that I began to become a warrior of the word.
It's amazing to me how much maturity you had as a 12-year-old to have the clarity of thinking to say, I need you this much, Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't even a believer until I was 13. Mm. So that to me, I think, wow. Mm. And so the things I was doing as a 12-year-old who was not filled with the Spirit were probably things no 12-year-old should be doing, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
But I do think, gosh, that's what just is so striking to me is how much you needed him and how much you knew you needed him.
Yeah.
So you started memorizing his word like your life depended on it, and you found out it did.
Yeah.
And that led to healing, didn't it?
Yeah. So I memorized the entire book of Philippians when I was 15. And I didn't even tell anybody. I just recited it to myself on my bed one day when I finished. I was like, now what? But the Lord knew. Lord knew what was next. He knew what he's been preparing me for and my life's calling and where he's brought me to and how I'd be equipping hundreds and thousands of believers to be able to take God's word with them and win spiritual victories with it in their lives. And one of those passages in Philippians, my favorite chapter, Philippians 3, really kind of grounded my identity in Christ, you know. And I count everything as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish in order to make gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith that I may know him. that I may know him. And that really is the biggest driving factor that drove me to memorize even more scripture and memorize even more and more books of the Bible, is just that knowing, just mm-hmm. like, I want to know you.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of reasons to memorize scripture. We could go into, you memorize scripture to fight temptation. You can memorize scripture to share the gospel. You can memorize scripture for just to pray it over people. You can do all these things, but really that deepest like yearning that goes even deeper than all of that is just to know him. Mm. And so that, yeah. And then that passage has actually, Philippians 3 has centered me in my identity in Christ throughout my life. When I've been tempted to put my identity in other things, like my accomplishments or my job or my relationships or whatever it is, I try to put my identity in, and I kind of start, drifting, mm-hmm. in that direction, and finding that I'm putting all my identity over here. And God's like, no, no, it's loss compared to me.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk a little bit about some practical things. Does scripture memory just come easier to you than the rest of us? I mean, you have an acting degree, you memorized all these books of the Bible, you memorized this book when you were 15. Like, for me, I'm thinking, what are some of the barriers? One of the barriers I see is that it can be really difficult to memorize things. Oh. We are not a memory-based culture.
No.
So we have everything against us. Like, I don't even know my mom's cell phone number. I just put it in my phone once and never looked back. So tell me about that. Is it easier for you, or is it the same for all of us?
No, well, I love to tell people that I don't have any better brain than you do. I mean, I was made in the image of God just as you were, and we were all made with brains that work faster than supercomputers. So we have the tools given by God to be able to actually memorize God's word. And I don't have any special capabilities. I don't have a photographic memory. I don't have, some extra large lobe in my brain that's making the magic happen. None of that. I've pursued after the Lord in this way, and I've discovered what works for me. And the cool thing is, because I've memorized so much, and God's taken us through this, my wife and I through this whole journey, we published this book, Warriors of the Word, a lot of the things that God taught us, he taught us, how to memorize and how not to memorize. And that's in the book.
Yeah,
why to memorize and why not to memorize, what to memorize, where to start, And so all these things that God has taught us over the years, we put in this book, because there's things that you can do, no matter who you are, to memorize more effectively. And there's things that, depending on your learning style, you can do to maximize the way that you specifically learn.
Yeah, that's really good and encouraging. I have memorized scripture in the past for various reasons. In fact, I remember one time when I was in seminary, I had to memorize a chapter of the Bible. So I chose John 15 because I love that. And I cannot remember it now. I mean, I remember bits and pieces of it. I know what's in it.
Yeah.
I know where to go.
Yeah.
But how do you keep it in your memory?
And it takes review. And so there's different pieces of the memorization puzzle. And we talk about this in our book, Warriors of the Word, as well. We have a whole chapter on kind of planning it out and really understanding the different stages of memorization, because first you have to read it, right? And you have to understand it and maybe dig in a little bit, because if you don't understand it, it's not going to stick, And then you have your active memorization time. We talk about see it, say it, do it. See it with your eyes, say it with your mouth, do it with your body. Mm. There's a lot of different ways you can do that, not just hand motions, but we can talk about lots of different ways. You can write it out, type it out, lots of different stuff. And then there's the review part of it after you act, because memorization is really, in my mind, active memorization is a one-time experience. And I say that because there's many other things that surround it. Like I said, the pre-memorization, the understand it portion, and then afterwards, the review it. And review it has several different stages. There's the solidification review, which happens every day for 7 days after you've actively memorized a passage. And then And then there's the maintenance review. Maintenance review happens once a week, once a month, you know, and for as long as you want to maintain it, you know, and if you don't maintain the passage, you lose it. And then we live in a fallen world. Our minds are continually forgetting. So there is no magic key that like, I'm always going to remember this, but I will tell you something really cool, is that there are certain passages that I've maintained for so long now that I don't really have to maintenance. Whole books of the Bible that are just there.
Wow.
Like Philippians, and James, and so many, the Sermon on the Mount, Jonah, things I could just give you. And I don't even have to go back and review. It's just right there. It's always there because I've done it, you know, so often, you know, and it's part of my life. I share it often. I share it to other people. I share it to my own soul. I share it on stage. And it's just part of my life.
Yeah.
But that's kind of far down the memorization, line.
Yeah. It's finally really in the long-term memory, or is it even long-term memory? 'Cause you can access it so quickly.
Yeah.
I think sometimes things that are stored too far back in the file cabinet, I gotta sit for a few minutes and think through, how do I get there? How do I get it out?
Yeah.
So gosh, that is really encouraging. So you gave us a tip a few minutes ago about see it, say it,
do it.
Do it.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, that's huge. That's one of the biggest things I can tell anyone when they're getting to memorize, because, you know, with so many people, when they go to memorize, they pick up their Bible and they start reading silently. All right. It's terrible. It's like stabbing yourself in the eye. It's painful.
Don't do it.
So we say never memorize silently. It's the biggest thing I can tell you is never memorize silently. So the easiest way to overcome that and to actually, because let's pause for a second. When you are memorizing something, you are a teacher of yourself. Okay. So if you're a teacher of yourself, every good teacher uses all three learning styles. All right. Well, do you want to be a good teacher of yourself or a bad teacher? You would be a good teacher of yourself, right?
Of course.
So you're going to use all three learning styles. Well, if we're going to use all three learning styles, we have to say it out loud while we're reading it. So in order to do that, guess what? You have to do it in a place where you feel alone with limited distractions. And that's what most people don't realize, is that, oh yeah, I can do this while multitasking. No, you need 100% of your attention and focus in a place where you feel alone with limited distractions, because so you can say it out loud and not feel goofy. All right. So we need to be able to say, even if I'm an extroverted person and my wife walks in the room and I stop reading out loud, like that's just the way our minds work that way.
Yeah.
So memorize in a place where you feel alone with limited distractions and see it, say it, do it. So the easiest way is begin saying it out loud, but then what is that? People are like, what is do it? I don't understand. So do it. Yeah, I mean, the easiest way to see it, say it, do it for anybody is write it down while you say it out loud. You're seeing it with your eyes, you're saying it with your mouth, and you're writing it with your hand. You can also do that same thing typing. See it, say it, type it. Okay. Easiest way to see it, say it, do it. I have friends that effectively memorize in that way, and it's awesome. I personally am a little more kinesthetic than that. I'm first auditory and then kinesthetic and then visual. That's the order of my strengths. So I try to choose tools that are going to be very auditory and kinesthetic combined. So I actually act it out while I memorize it. So I look like a goon in my living room. I walk around and I portray the characters. I try to say it in the voice or the tone that they would have said it in. And I'm just like, I'm acting it out. Okay. So my wife, on the other hand, she's first kinetic and then auditory, and then, or maybe kinetic then visual then auditory. And she actually does hand motions while she does the see it, say it, do hand motions, which is great. And that's really, really effective. It's not rocket science. You can make up your own hand motions. It's like super, super easy. You say, for God so loved the world, you know, on God, you point to God, you know, love, you hug your chest, you know, and world is, you know, you just make a little world with your hands. Yeah. It's super easy. Not rocket science, you know?
Yeah. Don't make it harder than it is.
Yeah. So the key is to become a kid again and engage creatively with the word, because when you create an experience, it's more difficult to forget. We're all about creating experiences that are difficult to forget, because when you hear something, we forget almost everything we hear, right? It just kind of goes in one ear, out the other. It's the way we work. We have too much information. We just delete. But when you create an experience and you touch it yourself and you recreate it in your own way, there's a special connection. It becomes yours. Mm. It's like a child playing with Play-Doh. Okay, before the Play-Doh comes out of the jar, it doesn't belong to the child. But once the child takes it out and makes a snowman with it, then this is my snowman.
Mm.
Okay, it's still the same Play-Doh. All right, so same thing with the word. We're not changing the words. It's the same thing, but we're making it ours.
Yeah.
We're drawing some piece of art to make it our own. It's a visual art, you know, making it like word art or whatever, you know, to make it our own. Or we're making our own hand motions to make it our own. Or we're making it, you're putting it in our own voice to make it our own. Or we're doing even a game on a scripture memory app like Verse Locker by Scripture Memory Fellowship is a great tool. You know, you're playing this game where it's, you know, taking away a word at a time, and you're kind of doing this game to make it your own. Or it shows the first letter of each word and you have to be able to quote it with just looking at that. And it's kind of doing it in a new and creative way that becomes yours.
Yeah, I love that, because especially even when you said be a kid again, because yeah. I think scripture memory has been given to us as adults as kind of like eating your vegetables. It's like, you just have to do it. And I'm sorry that you don't like cauliflower, but you need to eat it because it's good for you. So, I mean, I just think it feels boring. It feels like something that we're just kind of sucking up and doing because you know what, we're supposed to do it if we're even doing that. Or we just say, yeah, I'm not going to. I engage with God in all of these other ways.
And that's what we say. If you're not having fun while memorizing scripture, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. And for those people that just like are like, you know what, I can't memorize, that's the biggest hurdle, even more than all these tips that I'm giving and these tools. The biggest hurdle is the mindset, the battle of the mind, because the fact of the matter is you can. And as long as you tell yourself you can't, you won't.
So good.
So every single person that I talk to that comes up to me and says, you know what, it's great, you can do that, I have a terrible memory. No, from now on, you say, by God's grace, I have an amazing memory, an amazing mind, and I can hide God's word in my heart and in my mind. And if you have that, if you speak that, speak words of life over yourself and not death, if you speak those words of life over yourself, guess what? They will become self-fulfilling prophecies. And if you speak death over yourself, guess what? It's going to be self-fulfilling prophecy in the wrong direction.
It makes me think of the enemy as the father of lies. That's his native tongue. And so when we speak these lies over ourselves, we're just in agreement with the enemy.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, you're just agreeing. Instead of agreeing with God, you're actually agreeing with the enemy on, you know, and tearing yourself down. So that's super helpful. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm too old to memorize. That's a myth that we believe as well. It's another version of the same lie, because I know people in their 60s, 70s, and even 80s. I know a woman in her 90s who memorized Psalm 91, and she was half blind and deaf. If Ellie can do it, you can do it.
That's so good. I heard you on a podcast a few months ago, and I had felt the Lord nudging me to start memorizing again.
Wow.
And I had been meditating on Psalm 37. And I was like, I have to memorize Psalm 37. and I started it a little, maybe 2 weeks ago. And I've been going slowly. So it's helpful to get some tips from you. And I'm through verse 8 now. So,
nice.
But it has just been, you know, I've woken up in the middle of the night. That's the first thing that's rolling around in my head, God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And just the truth that he is inviting me to through his word.
Yes.
Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. And those verses, like just some things that I see going on around me, he's just telling me, Don't look at that. What are you supposed to do? Trust in me. Dwell in the land where you are. Commit your way to me. Delight yourself in me. I've got it, Jody. I've got it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night. That's the first thing on my mind. I sit with the Lord in the morning and I just am, you know, slowly thinking about these. And I am saying it out loud. That's a very helpful tool. It has helped me memorize.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it's an interesting psalm because it's repetitive. And so how have you gotten over some of that verses that are very similar to each other? How do you lock those in? Because I find that there's a few verses where I'm like, oh, wait, that's a little bit like this one.
Yes.
But a little different.
Yep. It's okay. So if you see things that are similar but different, isolate them and put them right next to each other and say them one right after the other, and or write them out one right after the other and notice the differences and try to find a pattern in the differences and say, okay, well, first it's delight yourself in the Lord, and then it's commit your way to the Lord, and then it's, or whatever, you know, maybe it's all these phrases that are all about the Lord, and then it's like, so it's delight, commit, trust, you know, or whatever, you know, and you just kind of like, and you just isolate those three or four things, and you just make it a list that you can be like, okay, it's first, second, third, fourth, and then as you do it in the passage, you can kind of come to them and kind of you can kind of check it off in your mind in that way, because like, okay, well, I already did, you know, delight, commit, trust, you know, so
that's helpful.
Makes sense.
Are there some passages that have been really hard to get in to your head?
Ephesians 1.
Yeah, why is that?
It's very philosophical in nature and not tangible, and it's also very, like you said, the same similar type of repetitive but different.
Yeah,
but in very somewhat unpredictable ways. You have to really notice so it's different in this way, you know.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1 has given me trouble for a number of years. I've re-memorized it multiple times, but I just shared it as part of the entirety of the prison epistles last week as part of something called the Great Recital in Dallas, Texas. But it was Ephesians 1, man. That one was the hardest, probably.
Okay, so that's probably not where we should start. Where do you recommend? So maybe put that one on the, like, a couple years away.
But Ephesians 1 is awesome. It's so cool.
Ephesians is amazing.
But it's from a memorization standpoint, it's a little harder. As far as recommended passages to memorize, our entire chapter 3 in Warriors of the Word is on this. So we have a whole different, you know, starting with, you know, simple life verse. Make sure you memorize that, you know, get a verse that you can really cling to for your identity in Christ. A handful of gospel verses, you know, whether that's the Romans Road or whatever, so you can share the gospel at any moment. Temptation fighter verses. You want to make sure that you get some verses that are you're able to fight against the enemy, against whatever temptations are coming against you, or whatever fears are coming against you at that moment or in that season of life. But other than that, you know, kind of a growth stage, the growing, we call it the growth track in our book, is a little bit more about, you know, okay, let's take a chapter, you know, take maybe the psalm of your age, however old you are, look up that psalm and memorize it. And nobody is 119, so you have nothing to worry about. most psalms are actually pretty short, you know, between 8 and 13 verses. So it's a nice, encouraging passage to memorize most of the time. And then another challenge would be to do your favorite chapter. So whatever your favorite chapter is, memorize. Some people are like, my favorite chapter is Romans 8. That's a beautiful chapter. You know, mine's Philippians 3. You can steal mine. My wife loves the chapters in Isaiah, like, you know, Isaiah 58 and 53 and things like that. So, you know, you can do something like that. Or you can James 1. James 1 is a really popular one to start with. You know, a Psalm 1 is another one. Psalm 1 is a beautiful passage to start with, really short and just all about, you know, rooting yourself in the Word. And so those are some great places to begin if you're wanting to actually take that next step and do a chapter.
Yeah. And so the scripture meditation that goes along with this episode is in Psalm 1, just the first three verses. Yeah. So you can go and listen to that, meditate on it. It's about meditating on God's word. It's about why we want to have it just in our heart and in our mind. So
yeah,
go listen to that. And maybe that's the beginning of your meditation journey.
Yeah.
Or your memorization journey is by meditating on it.
There you go.
Aaron, tell me a little bit more about the resources that you offer through your ministry.
Yeah. So at warriorsoftheword.org, you can find both our book called Warriors of the Word. It's the Bible memorization battle guide for winning spiritual victories. You can also find our video course for small groups, also called Warriors of the Word, where small groups can memorize and study God's word together as a group. And each person gets to choose a passage to memorize during this 8-session video course. And throughout the 8 sessions, that they get to be encouraged with accountability within the group and get to share victory stories of how God is using that passage to win spiritual victories in their daily walk, which is always one of the coolest parts. And then at the end, your group has a scripture sharing celebration where everybody shares the passage that they've memorized with the group. And some way that God's used that passage in their life to win spiritual victory. So it's just a really encouraging way to do that with a video course with a group. And that's all at warriorsoftheword.org.
That's awesome. And that's where people can find you as well, I assume.
Yeah, you can contact us through the website. We'd love to hear any questions. Or we also Emily and I also come and speak and share about how to become a warrior of the word. We share scriptures and stories from our own lives about how God has used his word to win powerful spiritual victories, and then to be able to encourage people to take that next step and memorize and hide God's word in their heart.
Yeah, I love it. Well, the Lord does tell us that his word should be living and active in our lives, that when we transform our mind through renewing it, we are transformed.
Yeah.
And so I just, huge fan of the work that you're doing. So grateful for how you have even just inspired me to start doing this as a spiritual discipline and spiritual practice in my life. So really grateful for that.
Wow. Praise God.
And I hope for the rest of you as well, that you'll start the journey of scripture memorization and grab a copy of Aaron's book. There'll be some links in the show notes for all of that as well. Well, Aaron, thanks again for making some space for us today.
You're so welcome, Jody. Thanks for having me.
Well, also, friends, I just want to thank you again for joining us today on So Much More, because we really do believe that Jesus has so much more to say to us, and we are creating space to listen.
If you're tired of parenting advice and news headlines that are more confusing than assembling IKEA furniture, we've got just the podcast for you. My dear friend Abby and I are here to help you navigate the parenting roller coaster.
Should your kids be on social media? What should you tell a friend facing an unplanned pregnancy? These are just some of the many questions we tackle on our podcast.
Subscribe to The Real Deal of Parenting wherever you find your podcast.